This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Federal Affordable Care Act has been controversial for its potential impact on health care and also on the economy. A report from the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research in Kalamazoo examines whether the act, also known as Obamacare, is pushing some workers out of full-time jobs into working part-time hours. Susan Hausman and Marcus Dillander are economists with the Upjohn Institute and two of the three authors of the report on the ACA's impact on part-time work. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So why exactly did you want to focus on part-time work? What is the potential problem here?
Well, maybe for your listeners, we should step back a little bit and just remind them of some of the main components of the Affordable Care Act, the ACA as we call it. You know, it came with an individual mandate. That is, people were required to purchase health care insurance if they didn't have it. Medicaid expansion, there were subsidies for those who were poor but who didn't qualify for Medicaid. And then the final component, the one that we focused on, was the employer mandate.
And the employer mandate requires that large employers, those with 50 or more employees, have to provide health insurance, affordable health insurance, to their employees or pay a substantial penalty. So it's the employer mandate that we're focused on. And a concern is that instead of actually offering this coverage, employers could switch to more workers who aren't covered by the mandate. So that could be part-time workers, which the ACA defines as working less than 30 hours per week, or temporary help workers, or contract out to firms that don't that aren't affected by the mandate.
Basically small firms.
And just to maybe put in context here why this is such a big concern, we've been hearing about job growth in the United States with wage growth sort of lagging behind. This is the sort of thing that might get in the way of sustained wage growth, correct?
Exactly. I mean, there's sort of two sides to this. On the one hand, when the ACA was passed, the idea behind the employer mandate was to help give more workers access to health insurance through their employers. After it was passed, if you remember, it was passed in 2010, we were still very much, if not officially in a recession, very much still in a, you know, kind of the labor market was depressed. And there was a lot of concern at the time that this mandate might backfire, that rather than offering workers insurance, employers would try to sidestep it because it can be expensive, particularly for low-wage workers, for whom it represents a higher share of their wage, payment of the insurance by the employer. And so they would cut back on hours, reduce them below 30 hours per week. There was a lot of suggestive evidence that this was going on. Some of the employer groups were protesting loudly. There were lists of employers who had, allegedly cut back on the hours shortly after the bill was passed. And even some unions expressed a lot of concern that this was going to happen, that it would ruin the, as they put it, the 40-hour work week.
So are there certain types of workers who would be more likely to find themselves in this situation? You mentioned, Susan, low-income workers, but I guess I'm wondering, are there workers in certain industries who might be more prone to find their hours being cut if an employer is going to do it?
So in earlier work, we tried to be really careful in thinking about who would actually be affected by the mandate. And we showed that in most industries, the majority of people are already offered health insurance, or they're not going to be covered by the mandate. And we found that the industries with relatively high proportions of people who are going to be affected by the mandate were retail, accommodations, and the food service sectors. These are people who are working 30 to 40 hours per week, but aren't being offered health insurance right now.
So before we get to what you've actually found so far, let's talk a little bit about how you found it. And you, for one thing, as you tell us in this report, You look at the state of Hawaii. Why does Hawaii factor into this as a significant signpost?
Well, when economists try to kind of assess what the effects of a particular policy is, often we look for what we call natural experiments to get kind of an empirical handle, statistical handle on what's causing what. Because if you think about it, lots of things are going on in the economy, so we're trying to zero in on what the effects of a particular policy, in this case the employer mandate, are on part-time employment.
And you're trying to account for variables as well.
We're trying to account for everything else that could be affecting part-time employment in the economy. Okay. So in this case, our natural experiment is Hawaii. As some of your listeners may know, Hawaii was the one state that had a mandate that was much stronger than the employer mandate in the Affordable Care Act. And it had been in effect for more than three decades. If you look at the data, employees in Hawaii are just much more likely to receive health insurance from their employers than are employees in any other state in the country. So it really was an outlier. The argument is that employees in Hawaii, employers rather in Hawaii, would really not be affected by this mandate. They'd be subject to a much more stringent one for years, and they were, by and large, already offering part-time workers health insurance benefits. I won't go into the details of the statistical analysis. There's a lot of statistics. But in a nutshell, what we find is that before the mandate, before even the Great Recession, you see the level, the rates of part-time employment, and also we look very carefully at involuntary part-time employment. Those are people who want full-time jobs but can't find them. You see those moving together in Hawaii and the rest of the country. Up into the recession, they follow parallel developments during the recession, but they start to diverge after the passage of the Affordable Care Act. And they start to diverge specifically in industries where we think employers are most likely to use part-time employment. That is, in these sectors, retail that Marcus mentioned, retail, hotel, food services, which are basically restaurants by and large, where there are already a lot of people not covered by health insurance. There's already a lot of use of part-time employment, and there's a lot of use of low hours part-time employment already. They already have kind of many of employers in these industries use flexible scheduling practices, and we argue that it's not that hard for them to cut workers' hours by a few hours to get them below the 30-hour limit. So anyway, that's in a nutshell what we find.
And I think it's important to note that we don't find any changes in the other industries. So for Hawaii and the rest of the nation, all other industries that we don't think are going to be affected by the ACA trend smoothly with part-time work, which is reassuring that we're really identifying the effect of the ACA here.
So if we were looking for a number here of workers who have seen themselves not either been moved from full-time to part-time or maybe didn't get the full-time job that they would have wanted because they ended up instead in part-time for an employer to cut costs. Do we have a number on that?
Our estimate is about 500,000 to 1 million workers, which is about 0.5% of the wage and salary labor force.
You're right. 2 to 3 percentage points in those industries. And we should be clear that we're not saying it never happens in other industries. It's just that it's too small to detect empirically. So the magnitudes that we're finding they're not huge, but they're quite significant in these industries, and they amount to on the order of 0.5% of the workforce. It also kind of ties into a lot of debate and concerns over what you may have heard of is persistently high part-time employment that we were observing coming out of the recession. Part-time employment, in particular, this component that varies cyclically, the involuntary part-time employment, was not dropping as fast as we would expect it to have dropped, given where we are in the economy. And we're not alone in speculating that at least part of that is because of the, could be because of the ACA. And our findings certainly support that.
You do go on, however, to point out in this report that there is some cost-benefit analysis that an employer has to do here, that it may not be just a simple zero-sum game of if I cut my workers back to part-time, I'm going to come out ahead. There's a lot of factors here. So is this necessarily the last word on whether or not the ACA in the long term is going to mean more workers working part-time hours?
So to us, we certainly view these as the immediate short-term effects of the ACA. And we think that there are reasons to suspect that the long-term impacts could be very different than the short-term impacts. One is that there was a lot of policy uncertainty about the ACA. It was challenged in the Supreme Court on more than one occasion. The House of Representatives has voted to repeal it. The mandates were delayed twice. So it could be that employers are just kind of thinking that it might be easier to shift to part-time work instead of extend health insurance in the short run while they wait for this uncertainty to be resolved. As Sue said, it's also the case that the ACA was passed at times of high unemployment and high part-time work already. So we're identifying the effects of the ACA during the Great Recession or coming out of the Great Recession. As we continue to recover from the Great Recession, compensation will hopefully rise, and part of that compensation may be health insurance for a lot of these workers who are currently being pushed to part-time work.
Right, exactly. As labor markets, we hope, will tighten, demand will increase, the economy will grow, employers are going to have to offer better compensation packages to workers in order to attract them. And many of the people who are working part-time but want full-time work, in order for them to continue, employers, may likely have to increase their hours and offer health insurance.
So what do you as economists want to look at next? Maybe you want to move on to something else besides healthcare, but assuming that you want to spend some more time on this issue, what's the next thing that you think you or maybe somebody else should dive into to examine this issue of what the Affordable Care Act means for full-time, part-time workers?
Well, so one thing is that we're really focused on involuntary part-time. So does this mandate move people who want full-time jobs into part-time work? But it could also be the case that the exchanges or other options for health insurance allow people who want to be part-time but can't because they need employer-sponsored health insurance to move into part-time work, to work fewer hours if they want to raise a family or devote more time to another project. So you might expect to see a change in voluntary part-time work because of the ACA.
You know, somebody might look at our results, take a quick look at our results and say, well, 500,000 to 1 million people is big. I don't know if it's big. It's not that big relative to the rest of the economy. But they might say, well, we should do away with the mandate. The other piece that we haven't looked at yet is how many people actually did get health insurance as a consequence of the mandate. That has to be kind of part of the judgment to look at sort of the overall effects on health insurance and availability of health insurance for workers. The data are just coming out. Official statistics, national statistics have been collected, and we haven't analyzed them yet. There have been some very preliminary other surveys done privately, for example, by Kaiser, that are merely suggestive that more employers offered health insurance to their part-time workers than cut their hours. But those, they need to be, that needs to be examined with better data. So I think before we would jump to any, say, policy conclusions, one would certainly want to step back and look at the overall effect on provision of benefits and kind of weigh the pluses and the minuses, certainly at least from the workers' perspective.
Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Susan Hausman and Marcus Dillinder are economists with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research in Kalamazoo. They are two of the authors of a report on the potential impact of the Affordable Care Act on full and part-time employment. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.